All right. Hello, everybody. Mike and Abbott here with this Sunday's Bible study. We are in Micah chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, leaders needed. Ungodly leadership will lead to God's wrath. And let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, yet again for the opportunity we have to study your word. Lord, to open up your revelation to us, the examples that you have given us through your word that guides and directs us and opens our eyes to our failures, our shortcomings, our need for repentance, and our ever-lasting need for you to guide and direct us through your Holy Spirit. Lord, now as we open up this study, Lord, just guide us and direct us into your truth and your truth alone. In Christ Jesus' name, we pray and ask it. Amen. All right, so let's understand the context. Micah, and this is just a review from 1 to 3. Micah was a prophet who preached to Judah between 730 and 690 B.C. His name meant, "Who is like Yahweh?" In Micah 7:18, he said, "Who is a God like you, forgiving iniquity and passing over rebellion for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not hold on to his anger forever because he delights in faithful love." This was a play on Micah's name. Micah's preaching took place during the reigns of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah as kings of Judah. This was a time of material prosperity for Judah, but it was also a time of spiritual drought for the nation. And as we go through this study, I want you to pay special attention to these things, and I want you to take the scriptures and then overlay them into our situation today in America. And Micah's prophecy contains several reoccurring themes. The major theme: God's hatred of sin, but his promise to deliver those who will repent and live according to his standards. He affirmed the sovereignty of God in Micah 1, 2, and 4, 11 through 13, in the sense that God is not a tribal deity who is limited in time and space. He is the omnipresent, omniscient God. All right, so as we continue, it says Micah, as we stated, emphasized the judgment of God. The nation stirred up God's anger due to their sin. The sin of Judah included idolatry, murder, oppression of the poor, lying, stealing, and turning a deaf ear to those who needed help. Mixed with the theme of judgment is the theme of hope. A remnant would survive and a Messiah was coming. Micah began with a prediction of future judgment coming on both Israel and Judah. He lamented the coming destruction and encouraged all true followers of God to join him in sorrow. He reinforced that this judgment was not unwarranted, but would fall on those who dream up wickedness. Their oppression of the poor did not go unnoticed by God, and he was planning a disaster for the nation. God promised to bring judgment, but he also promised to gather a remnant from among them and to serve as their leader. So it's this reference to God as leader that turns the attention to the self-serving leaders who were leading Judah astray. All right, so blessing, and it goes back, if we look at, really, when you look at all the minor prophets, and you look at what was going on with Judah and Israel, it goes back to Deuteronomy 28. Blessing for obedience. So in Deuteronomy 28, verse 1, it says, "And if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments that I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth." All right, now, if we go back and we look at the founding of America, you look at the Mayflower Compact, and the pledge that was made, the commitment that was made to God, and the blessings that would come as long as this nation would do as it says here, being careful to do all of his commandments and his statutes. There's blessing. But, and we, of course, America had been elevated above all nations on the earth. We have been greatly blessed. But it says curses for disobedience. So, but if you will not obey the voice of the Lord your God, or be careful to do all his commandments and his statutes that I command you today, then all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. So that's the choice we have to make as individuals. That's the choice we have to make as a nation, as a people. And this is what really when you look at the minor prophets, it goes back to this call in Deuteronomy 28. So just as an overview here of America and looking at idolatry in America. And I asked the question, idolatry in America, is it, you know, are we being judged? All right, so to the right you see a monument. This was about Baal, the monument of Baal. And below that is the Bull of Wall Street, the golden calf, right? So idolatry, you look at Baal worship. And so again, when you look at the idolatry that was taking place in Israel and Judah, that when they came into the promised land, they were a called out people. They were to be that people that were separate and different and set apart to bring the message of God to the pagan lands. But what did they do? They actually ended up embracing the worship of the gods of the pagans. And so in the idolatry, their God, one of the gods that they, as we've reviewed these in the previous weeks, we looked at Baal worship. So, and that was one of their key things, Baal worship. So Baal was the god of prosperity, the lord of rains and fertility, representing increase and gain and profit, fruitfulness of fields, vineyards, and children. He was also known as the god of apostasy. Basically, his goal was to lead the people or nations away from God, to cause them to forget the God, to just lose him in their memory even. So when you look at America and you look at the cities of Baal, you look no further than Washington, D.C. and New York City. And the temples of Baal, you look at the U.S. Capitol and the New York Stock Exchange, all right, which is just sitting. So you got the center of our government, our leadership, and then you've got the center of our financial institution, our financial markets. And you see what is represented there in the financial markets is the bull, the golden calf. So it was interesting looking at this. We had this recent election and some of the exit polls that were done showed that the number one concern among the Republicans, those that classified themselves as Republicans, was inflation, money, right? Mammon. All right, next we have the idolatry in America being judged, and now we have idolatry represented here as Ashtoreth or Ishtar. And yes, that is the Statue of Liberty that was given to America by a Frenchman who happened to be a Mason, Freemason. All right, so, and of course that statue is a representation of Ashtoreth or Ishtar, the Queen of Heaven, the Lady Liberty, the goddess of sexuality, the goddess of prostitution, the goddess of taverns. She's a breaker of rules and all boundaries. So you see in America this idolatry, this worship, just like we saw the two key gods that we have, God and goddesses that have been mentioned in these studies, have been Baal and Asherah. So, and here again, if you think the gods of the Old Testament, the gods of the Bible, and the little gods, the little g gods, the demonic, the fallen ones, have no influence on what is happening all around you, you are sadly mistaken. So they're as live today as they have been in all the years past. So you see a deification of sex as a result of Ashtoreth and Ishtar. That's the same goddess, okay, and Venus, and depending on the land, is the same deity, small god, again, goddess. So you see the deification of sex, and this is how we get to where we are today with the LGBTQAP+, that whole thing is all based on sex. You have the porn industry, and of course the United States is the world's number one sex trafficking nation. Then you see what has happened with the destruction of marriage, the passions that are driven by will and desires, sanctifying the forbidden, sex, drugs, rock and roll, occult. Every level of occult, the demonic occult has come forth, the mediums, the witches, of course, witchcraft, all of these things. And of course, out of that comes feminism. And again, that ties back to the destruction of marriage and the family. So again, these are the question is, idolatry in America, are we being judged? And then the third. And again, these are the same deities that we have seen in our studies with all these minor prophets and the land of Israel and Judah. All right, so now we look at Moloch. And in the scriptures, it calls it the abomination. It calls it the abomination of Haman, or Ammon, I believe it may have been. But the abomination, the god of human sacrifice, especially child sacrifice. So the Bible, and this is from The Return of the Gods by Jonathan Cahn, which is where I get some of this information. So you've got the Bible speaks of the act, abortion. The Bible speaks of the act as the most grievous of abominations, as well as the sign of a nation, or really child sacrifice, I'm sorry, as well as the sign of a nation that has turned entirely against the ways of God and become lost to him. So child sacrifice. So abortion, all right, and this is key. Again, this is the exit polls done in our land at this most recent election, and the day is November 10th as I'm recording this. So abortion as a right was the number one issue for the majority of Democrats in America. And with that, the polls tell us that 60%, 60 plus percent of all Americans are approving of abortion. And those statistics get broken down more based on whether they wrote in late term abortion or abortion, even abortion up to the time of birth, and even abortion that is now being made into law, or attempted to be made into law, where even after birth, and even up to a month after birth. So I mean, so this is where we are as a nation. Okay, so we've got the Republicans. Their number one thing is the love of money, and we got the number one issue for the Democratic Party is the ability to kill and murder children. And also, that goes along with that, of course, is connected to the whole LGBTQ+ and transgenderism and the mutilation so of children, where they will be in these sex-affirming, gender-affirming surgeries that basically will make our these children sterile for life. So again, just another way to destroy the family, destroy humanity. So again, the question, is America being judged for its idolatry? Now, as we get into the idolatry, of course, of Moloch, the abomination, and you look at scriptures, and you look, and this is this idol that you see to the right, the Baphomet, and with children, you see this all over our country now. All right. So in Jeremiah 7:31 it says, and they have built the high places of Topheth, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I did not command, nor did it come into my mind. That's God speaking. Jeremiah 19:4, because the people have forsaken me and have profaned this place by making offerings in it to other gods, whom neither they nor their fathers nor the kings of Judah have known, and because they have filled this place with the blood of innocents. And then Isaiah 49:15, can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Well, of course, the answer to that is yes. As we see women all across this land publicly professing the joy that they have for having an abortion, the pride. All right, so even these may forget, yet I will not forget. That's God says he will not forget you. All right, so as we get into this as well, we see that the other areas of what was happening with Israel and Judah and also in our land is these other acts of covetousness, oppression, contempt of the word of God, the rulers, the leaders, and whether it be the church or the state, abusing their power. So again, it goes back to Deuteronomy 28. Be careful to do all his commandments and his statutes. So again, how many, we've done everything we can to make sure that our children are not exposed to the Ten Commandments. In our school systems. And anyway, so where are we being judged? Now, I'll leave that up to you. So let's look at the judgment of leadership. This is Micah 3:1-4. It says, and I said, here I pray you, O heads of Jacob, and ye princes of the house of Israel. So he's calling in to both the leadership of the northern and the southern kingdom, both Israel and Judah, is it not for you to know judgment? Well, guess what? Again, this is what judgment's coming. You who hate the good and love the evil. So again, we see this being spoken in their days. When you start moving away from the commandments and statutes of God, you begin to hate that which is good, godly, and you begin to love the evil. You display your love for the one, your actions display the love that you have for either God or Satan, who pluck off their skin from off them and their flesh from off their bones. So they're consuming. They're fleecing the flock. So these are the leaders that were called to be shepherds over the flock. And as we see here, they're definitely not what you would call a good shepherd, because those that they were called to protect, they're actually abusing. So who also eat the flesh of my people and flay their skin from off of them, and they break their bones and chop them into pieces as for the pot, and as flesh within the cauldron. So this is the extent they consume they're fleecing, they're consuming all that they are supposed to be protecting. They're treating as nothing more than something that they have sacrificed to their own desires, instead of taking care of their flock. They are destroying their flock. Then shall they cry unto the Lord, but he will not hear them. So when this judgment comes, they will turn and try to call out to God, but God is not going to hear them. He will even hide his face from them at that time, as they have behaved themselves ill in their doings. So because of this evil, all of this that they are doing, their judgment will come. God will not hear their pleas, and he will hide his face from them because of all the evil, because of all the ill that they have done. Now let's look at quickly at the Christian leadership in America. And I've shown you this before, but this is important, because we're seeing how in Micah, in this section, how the judgment is coming down upon the leadership. Okay? So the nation, and this is about our Christian leadership in America. So the nationwide study of about 1,000 Christian pastors found that just slightly more than a third, 37% of the U.S. pastors hold a biblical worldview. So that's 63% who don't. The majority, 62%, profess a hybrid worldview known as syncretism. Now remember, we talked about that. That's where the people of Israel and Judah were blending in these pagan worships into their worship. As we began reviewing Micah, it was talking about how they were and making profane sacrifices in the temple. And so they had this syncretism where they were blending their worship of God with the worship of these pagan deities. We're doing the exact same thing. And that means also in the church. Humanism, communism, socialism, all these isms have found their way into the church, into the leadership of the church. So the study released Thursday showed that 41% of senior pastors, as compared to 28% of associate pastors, have a biblical worldview. Further, only 13% of teaching pastors and 12%, this is a thing that we really have to understand, 12% of children's and youth pastors have a biblical worldview. 12%. I mean, that tells you, you want to understand why we lose the children to the world once they leave home? Because who has guided them? Who has directed them in their Bible schools and their vacation Bible studies and all this stuff? Well, the leadership, the teachers, the pastors, the youth leaders, 12% biblical worldview. So the lowest level of biblical worldview was among executive pastors, with only 4% of them holding consistent biblical beliefs and behaviors. And this was one from the Worldview Inventory 2022 by Dr. George Barner. And this was done through the Arizona Christian University. And that was May 10th, 2022. So you can get the download for that at that address there. So Christian leadership in America, this was just recent, going back to the recent and this recent election. And this is what's happening. You can go and you can find this where different of the so-called Christian leaders in our nation and the candidates they have endorsed openly, some have brought them into their churches. One was Stacey Abrams, that was brought into and endorsed by Clef O'Dollar. And so it just talks about, okay, so here's a leading evangelical pastor, Clef O'Dollar. Of course, he's also prosperity and all these other things, you know, with his private jets and all that stuff. But it goes, that will relate to our study as well. But here she is that she abortion, she endorses abortion, which she refers to as a reproductive justice. Remember, yeah, it's all about the language. You change it so that it doesn't reflect the actual crime that you're committing. And she goes on, she says, there is no such thing as a heartbeat at 6 weeks. It is a manufactured sound designed to convince people that men have the right to take control of a woman's body. So that goes back. If you read that, that tells you the spirit of Ishtar, all right, of Ashtoreth and feminism, because that's what that was about, a man controlling a woman's body, okay? So, and that kind of reveals the heart steeped in a deception, ignoring science to hold on to her own faith, her own truth. She also refers to herself as a proud LGBTQ ally and will fight against religious freedom legislation. So she is going to fight against the church and its Christian values. She calls racism wrong and yet promotes critical race theory to be taught in our schools. Critical race theory is a Marxist tool used to divide from the Frankfurt School. Okay, it all goes back to this communist infiltration into the churches. It promotes racism because it judges everyone based on the color of their skin. All right. So now we get into the judgment of the false prophets in Micah 3, 5 through 8. Thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that make my people err, that bite with their teeth and cry. So this is like, you're trying to hold back and not say something, right? So you kind of bite on your lip, bite your lip so you don't say something. All right, so these guys, these people are talking about peace, and it's so interesting when I review the churches that I've been a part of, and I reviewed sermons from three of those churches that I've been most connected with, and there's a commonality in all of them, preaching peace and all these feel-good things, all these niceties. And it's like I say, when we're living in a land as we are right now in America, is full of all this stuff going on. But yet you can take the sermon of your pastor and it will fit in at any time because it's not overlaid over the things that are current events. So you just kind of leave the scriptures in the Old Testament and the New Testament, and you never bring them forward into today so that you can really point out what's going on and connect the dots. Because, you know, the things of God have been given as an example, as a way for us to learn, to evaluate, so that we may see the path that we're on and make correction. So it says, they cry peace, and that he that putteth not into their mouths, they even prepare war against him. So they prepare the people to turn against God. Therefore, night shall not be upon you, that ye shall not have a vision, and it shall be dark. So they're going to be disconnected from the Spirit of God, from the Holy Spirit, from being able to connect with the will of God. And it says that ye shall not divine, and the sun shall go down over the prophets, and the day shall be dark over them. So this is that separation from God. Then shall the seers be ashamed, and the diviners, this goes back to the occult, the pagan worship. Then shall the seers be ashamed and the diviners confounded. Yet they shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer of God. So they've lost that connection. They've experienced the separation. But truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord. So Micah is saying the words I'm bringing, the things I am bringing, is because I am full of the power of the Lord, by the Spirit of the Lord, and of judgment and of might. to declare unto Jacob and to Israel, all right, both houses, all 12 tribes, his transgression and his sin. All right. So the judgment of all naive leaders. So now he's going to hit all of them. Okay. Hear this, I pray you, ye heads of the house of Jacob and princes of the house of Israel that abhor judgment and pervert all equity. Remember, all these oppressing, we've done this study, the inequity that was created by these leaders, taking advantage, oppressing the poor and needy, the widow, all of these things that they, the people would go to them for justice, and what do they get? So they did not get justice. So now they abhor judgment and pervert all equity. They build up Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity. All right, again, this is the state of the leadership, both in the church, and remember, the leadership in the temples, the leadership in the civil authorities were all corrupt. They built Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity. The heads thereof judge for reward. All right, so as I mentioned, the pastors that we have today that are all about money and position and power and prestige, the heads thereof judge for reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire, and the prophets thereof divine for money. Remember the scriptures. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Yet will they lean upon the Lord. Okay, we're the priests, we're the prophets, we are the leaders of the church, we're this, and the Lord is with us. So they lean upon the Lord, saying, yes, we are of the Lord, and say, is not the Lord among us? None evil can come upon us. Look at us. We are blessed by the Lord. We have our direct connection to God. And then it says, therefore shall Zion for your sake be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountains of the house are as the high places of the forest. So this is, you think you're protected because you're protected, because God is all love. God is love, right? The one-sided, God is love. And I want to read this as we're finishing up here. This is from Paul McGuire's most recent book, Power from On High, which I highly recommend that you get that. But he was went over to France after the Charlie Hebdo attacks that took place in Paris. And he was meeting with various pastors from all over the world. And he happened to be, as it reads here, it says, he was meeting with a pastor there. It says, the pastor shared with me his perspective on many American churches and ministries that had compromised the word of God and were not speaking the full truth about the great danger America was in due to the forces of humanism, communism, Marxism, globalism, and totalitarianism. So this is, we get this one-sided Jesus. God is love. Jesus is love. All right. So they don't teach the whole counsel of God. They just teach the parts that tickle the ears, right? So he goes on to say, the pastor said that many of the sermons of American churches, pastors, and ministries have begun to ring hollow. Remember what I said about you can just take the sermons that are there, you can stick them anywhere because they have no relevance to, they don't connect the dots to what's happening right now. It says, because the pastors and Christian leaders were afraid and hiding. This pastor challenged me not only to follow in those footsteps, but to keep preaching God's word and to continue to speak biblically on the key issues of our day. He said that when pastors and Christian leaders stop addressing the all-important issues out of fear, that God stops doing the powerful miracles, outpourings of the Holy Spirit, and revival in their churches. So, and again, this is where when we look at this study, this is where you see they were teaching for hire, they were looking for rewards, it's all about money. Teach for hire, divide for money, and then they expect that God is still with them. But we see here where that judgment will come. They will be plowed as a field. Jerusalem will become heaps, and the mountain of the house as of the high places of the forest. They'll be, as we've seen, torn down, plowed under. So how do we apply this text? Leaders of God's people are accountable to God for their actions. And God expects believers to stand for his truth. And the scriptures also tell us to be holy as he is holy. So this is where we have to connect the dots, and we overlay where we are today with these words of God. Ask yourself, are we due the judgment of God as a nation, as a people? Are we as Christians being those called out ones, those that are separate to be the people of God, to lead the people that do not know God to know him? What does our life look like? So these are things that we have to apply to our lives. God expects believers to stand for his truth. And this leads us to, again, in closing, why Christ? Well, as we see here in this study, we recognize that we are all sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God. But just as we see throughout the minor prophets, there's always that place of judgment where God brings the hurt, right? But then he also brings the healing. He brings the restoration. He restores us. So even though we have sinned and fall short of his glory, he demonstrates his love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He says he also has not only provided salvation, but a way for us to live forever. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Because we know that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So if we ask him and we turn, we repent. Remember, this is what it requires. It requires repentance. If the people of Judah and Israel were to be restored, living in that hope of restoration, to be restored to their land, to be made right with God again, then it would require repentance. So he asks us to turn from our sins. And I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will likewise perish. You will all likewise perish. We can call upon God for salvation. As it says, because whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. All right. And how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? I'm not a preacher, but you've heard the word. You've heard the word of God. So unlike the leadership that we saw represented in this study, those wicked shepherds, we see the good shepherd. For the good shepherd, says, lays down his life for the sheep. And on his robe, this same shepherd is also the one that on his robe has the name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So he is the only, he is our way to salvation. Today is that day. Don't put off another moment getting right with God. We are not guaranteed the next day, the next moment. So if the Spirit has stirred you, and you have that stirring, that passion and that desire to make things right with God, then simply repeat after me these words. Dear God, I know that I am a sinner. I know that you love me and want to save me. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross to pay for my sins. I believe God raised you from the dead. I now turn from my sin, that's repentance, and by faith receive you into my life as my personal Lord and Savior. Come into my heart, forgive my sins, and save me, Lord Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen. And let me be the first to welcome you into the family of God. You are now a child of God. You have been made whole through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And we'll pray for you in your growth. But I also encourage you to download the PDF here that you'll find through Love Worth Finding. It's a great resource to help you on your journey. Welcome to the family. Let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this lesson. We thank you for all these lessons. Lord, we thank you for all the truth that is found in your word that gives us direction and insight, that helps us to walk in righteousness, that helps us to walk on that narrow path, Lord, that we have been called to be on, that we may be the salt and the light that stirs our communities, our churches, our schools, Lord, our workplaces, everywhere we are, that your light will shine through, that people will be seeking to know the gift that we have through Jesus Christ. Lord, we just pray that in the days to come that we will be a people called out, separate, and that we'll be willing to stand for your truth in the days to come. Lord, we just thank you again for the grace that you've extended to us, the mercy that's new each and every day, and the love that you've shown us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name I pray and ask it, and all God's people said, amen. Thank you, folks, and we will see you again soon. All right. Love you all. Bye-bye.